This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
Once you have your data, you're going to want to communicate that data in a way that's compelling and engaging for the audience and the community that you're dealing with. And there are a number of particularly obvious stories that you might want to try to find within your data. For example, you might want to know who's top and who's bottom. And that's going to be relatively easy to do by sorting your data by ascending or descending so that the top and bottom values come to the fore. You might also want to find out what the average is. And that itself can make quite an interesting feature. If you find out what the average place in is in Britain, you can do a profile on that place, you can do a profile on a particular person that represents that average, and it says something about, if you like, our country or our city or whatever it is that you're looking at in particular. One thing to point out about averages is that there are three different types, and quite often people reach for the mean average, which is what you get by totalling up all of the values and then dividing by the number of items that you have. Now, actually, that type of average, that mean average, is only normally meaningful in a situation where the data is naturally distributed. In other words, something like height or weight or age or shoe size, something which is produced naturally rather than is man-made. If you're dealing with something like wages or spending or anything to do with money, the mean average is not actually likely to be much use because it's going to be skewed by very high values towards the top end. So in that case, and in most cases with journalism, because we're normally dealing with man-made situations, we want to be using the median average. Now, the median average looks for the middle value in a series of data. So, for example, if you had 100 people with different earnings, it would look at the middlemost person in terms of earnings. So if you had the lowest earning person at position 1 and the highest earning person at position 50, the two people at position 25 and 26, it would look at the position between them. In fact, I should correct that. It would actually be the person at position 25. So the median is more useful for man-made data. The other type of average is the mode, and this is the effectively the best-selling. So this is the most popular or the most used, the value that appears the most in your data set. And sometimes that can be useful as well, although it's very rarely referred to as an average. So those are three obvious ways of finding stories. Another couple is to look at variation over time and over space. So, for example, if you have a data set that looks at crime values across the country, then you might want to look at variations regionally in terms of crime. If you've got data that looks at crime over a period of time, you might want to identify how much it has risen or fallen by, whether there were particular occasions where it spiked or dropped, and try and find out what the reasons were for that. Now, the reasons may well be a change in measurement. So, for example, Charles Arthur and Adrian Short worked on some data from Transport for London on parking ticket offences, where there was a very noticeable change in the numbers of offences, numbers of a particular offence being ticketed in a particular month. And during that month, a new handset had been issued to parking inspectors. Now, the likely answer there, the likely reason for that change in the pattern of crimes, if you like, in parking crimes, was not any change in actual behaviour, but the change in the handset meant that crimes were recorded differently than they used to be. Another thing to be aware of when comparing across regions is that different places have different populations. So a place like Birmingham, which is the biggest local authority in the UK, will pretty much always have the most or sometimes the least of any particular value. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's the crime capital of the UK. It just means that there are more people and therefore more crimes. So you need to have contextual data sets that you can relate your main data sets against. You need a data set which has the populations of local authorities, it has the populations of police authorities or health authorities, whatever it is that you're looking into, whatever regions you're using for your data. And then you can start to produce meaningful comparisons that actually talk about crimes per person or per 100 people. And that brings me on to communicating the results of your interrogation. Quite often people reach for big numbers to try and make an impact. But the problem with big numbers is that they actually don't relate very much to you and me. If I talk about £1 million or £1 billion, it doesn't really help us imagine how much money this is or how it compares to other things. And so if you are dealing with big numbers, it's a good exercise to try and identify what is meaningful about those numbers. For example, is it going to be more effective and engaging if you talk about the amount spent per person or the number of crimes per person, or perhaps what the average person would suffer from in a year? You might also want to talk about how much that particular amount of money compares to other amounts of money. Is it more or less than is spent on something else? Would it pay for a certain number of doctors or nurses, for example, is quite often a tactic that's used in writing about big amounts in terms of health spending. So think about relating the value to the individual, and also think about going beyond the numbers to something that tells the story in a more engaging way. If you're talking about people, can you find a case study that illustrates the story that you're talking about? Someone that has suffered from or has pursued the particular issue that you're talking about. And that can add an extra level to your coverage, which takes it beyond just abstract numbers. Big visualizations can be very compelling, but again, simplify things as much as possible. When you're doing the gathering of data, quite often it's about getting as much data as possible to get the bigger picture. But when you're communicating that story, you might want to drill down to the key pieces of data within all of that information that you've gathered. And just as in writing, where half of the job of writing is taking stuff out, with visualization and data journalism, when you come to communicate the results, you want to be thinking about, is there anything more that I can take out to make this story clearer? In the end, you should always obviously link to the full data so that people can interrogate that themselves and find their own interesting pieces of information in there, possibly build on it and find extra stories for you. And there are a number of platforms that you can use to do this. BuzzData, BUZZDATA, is one recent platform which is essentially a social network for data journalists, and that's one place you should think about publishing it. So make sure you publish to your transparent data. Make sure that you think about communicating the story effectively on a human and meaningful level rather than just talking about numbers. And use the tools that are there in your spreadsheet software in Excel or Google Docs to find very straightforward stories very quickly, but also make sure that it's contextualized in terms of the broader population that you're dealing with in terms of the data sets that you have.